Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Clock on a Wednesday. It is Fesco in the morning along with Bob Fesco, Ryan Wachowski. I'm Josh Klingler. And 9 o'clock on a Wednesday means one thing, Bob. That's our visit with Royals manager Ned Yost.
Yeah, we do it every single Wednesday here on 610 Sports Radio, all brought to you by Dick Smith Ford. How you doing, Skipper? You doing well?
We're doing well. We're hanging out in the clubhouse here in Minnesota getting ready for this noon game.
What's on the spread this morning for you guys? Anything good?
Oh, no. You know, it's like everywhere. They take pretty good care of us, and omelets and pancakes and hash browns and bacon and sausage, and they do a good job here in Minnesota.
Are you a meat lover omelet guy or a veggie lover omelet guy? Because I'm like egg whites and vegetables now. Where are you going?
No, I'm not. No veggies. I'm a carnivore.
Yeah,
strict. Bacon, a little onion, cheese, tomatoes, that's it.
All right. Cheese, and I'll give you the tomato and onion. That's a good little vegetable pairing there. You got the break coming up, man. What are your big plans? You got anything fun planned for the All-Star break?
No, we're just going to head to Georgia for a couple days and see the grandkids. They're all fired up, and just go home and kind of take it easy.
Do you have any kind of, like, food plans down there? Like, is this a Casper's hot dog weekend or pizza or anything like that? Do you have it all planned out like you do after the season?
Yeah, we do a little bit. You know, every All-Star break, we'll go over to Jeff's farm and have kind of a big barbecue, generally the second night in on Tuesday. And, we used to do fish fries, but now it's just we've got a favorite. Jeff's got a greenhouse, and he grows these jalapenos, and we make jalapeno poppers. And everybody gets sick eating them. So it's kind of evolved to jalapeno poppers and maybe a hamburger and a hot dog, and then we wait for homemade ice cream afterwards. So it's a pretty good time, and everybody gets together. There's probably 20 of us there, and we'll watch Home Run Derby and, kind of catch up, because we've been gone all summer, I think we'll have a fish fry for the grandkids one night, and just fun stuff.
So you guys would just eat jalapeno poppers and nothing else? Like, that was the appetizer, main course, and dessert at one point?
They're so good you can't stop eating. I mean, you just fill up on them. It's Italian sausage with cream cheese in the jalapeno, wrapped in bacon, baked. I mean, they're you can't stop eating them. So we've learned that, no matter whatever else you cook, it's going to kind of probably be wasted because we just kill the jalapeno poppers. Everybody just sits there and eats them. They're so good.
Wow.
So, yeah, it's kind of a specialty there at Jeff's farm.
And so now he's doing burgers. So what's like his burger specialty? What's he making on the hamburger side of things?
I'm not going to eat a burger. I'm going to eat hot dogs. I've got some Casper's hot dogs left, and I told him I'll bring those over, and I'm going to just eat hot dog. And then, my goal is always try to eat like 10 poppers, maybe a hot dog, wait an hour, and then eat 4 cups of homemade ice cream. So the diet goes out the window that day.
What? You're not putting ketchup on your Casper hot dog, are you?
No, that's kind of sacrilegious when you put ketchup on a hot dog, really. You're not really supposed to. Generally what I'll do is I'll put, mustard, relish, and then I'll put, onion and, a little bit of tomato, chopped up tomato on it, and some salt, and they are fantastic.
Yeah, they are tremendous. I still think I have a couple of them in my freezer from a few years ago.
I'm full just hearing the menu. Like, I don't need to eat the rest of the day. That sounds fantastic.
Yeah. I mean, it's good.
Yeah.
What kind of ice cream?
Well, Jeff will make homemade vanilla. They'll make peach ice cream, of course, being from Georgia. But I think everybody just gravitates to the vanilla. And we'll make two or three ice cream tubs full of it, with everybody, because everybody pounds it. So it's a good little dinner right there. And this is a fun group. You know, we do during the winter too. We have what we call a supper club, where once a month somebody will have everybody over for dinner and make a specialty dinner, whatever it is. And we're pretty involved in the eating side of things.
What's your specialty when they come over to your place?
It just depends. Sometimes I'll do like shrimp parmesan, on angel hair pasta, which is really, really good. I'm really good with the steaks. I've just learned and started to understand and research a little bit of sous vide.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about that. Are you sous videing things?
Yeah, I am. I really am. And, that's going to really blow their mind too when I whip that out on them and then don't tell them how I cooked it.
Yeah, I mean, I had somebody come up to me the other day and we were talking about steak and they're like, oh, if you're not sous videing, you're doing it all wrong.
Can you explain what it is?
It's basically like you set the temperature net of the water and you just let the meat soak in the water and it cooks it, right? Is that kind of how you do it?
It cooks it to the perfect temperature that you want. So like if you like it well done, I mean, you can set it at, 150 degrees and cook it anywhere from an hour to 24 hours, and it's never going to get more than what you want. If you want it at medium rare, you set the temperature at 127. You can cook it for an hour. You can cook it for, 12 hours. It's never going to get more than medium rare. And then you got to take it out. Of course, you got to sear it when you're done, but it's hard to tell the difference, and it's absolutely cooked perfectly.
So you've done this before. Is this thing idiot-proof? Because I look at these things, and I'm always like, I'm going to screw this thing I'm going to screw this thing up. Can anybody operate this thing?
I that's always my philosophy. If I can do it, anybody can do it. And trust me, I can do it. So I think it's pretty much foolproof. Yeah, it's really easy. I mean, you experiment a little bit. You get whatever you want, chicken, pork, steak, whatever, ribs, and then you season it and you put it in a bag. And you can use actually a Ziploc bag, or you can use a vacuum sealer if you got it.
Uh-huh.
Because it's got to be, the water's got to touch all of it on the side. And then you just put it in. And then when it's done, you take it out. Dry it off and sear it a little bit, and it's ready to go. And I mean, it's absolutely fantastic. I cooked, my brother was in town last week, for the homestand, and we cooked steaks and we cooked, halibut on it. And the halibut was cooked absolutely perfect and the steaks were fantastic. So, it's a fun thing to experiment with. It's really, really easy. I'm still trying to figure out how, because my wife likes her steaks done well done, and I like mine medium rare, how you kind of work the difference of them with one sous vide, but I'm going to figure that one out before it's all said and done.
So like you're getting ready to leave the condo for the ballpark. You throw the steaks in the water, you set the timer, you come back, and they're ready to go once you get back home.
No doubt. That's exactly the way that it works. Yeah. And it's just it'll fit in any pan. Your sous vide machine will put like in any pan that'll hold water. And, you just set the temperature, and it stays constant at that temperature. It doesn't fluctuate. So, and when you're done, it's absolutely perfect.
How's it different from a crock pot, though?
Well, I don't know. I don't know. This is a crock pot. I don't know if you can accurately get your temperature to stay constant throughout the whole time.
Okay.
I just don't know if you can do that. But this, it takes it to the degree. I mean, you want it at 127 degrees, it holds it at 127 degrees.
That's unbelievable.
Pretty interesting.
Yeah, I mean, you've convinced me. I think I got
to
explore this.
We need a late night infomercial on this. It feels like you'd be the perfect pitch man for this thing. Really, well done.
Really good.
I never heard of that before.
Yeah, recently somebody, I think it was my sister when we were on vacation last week, she goes, oh, you got to be sous videing everything. I'm
well
like,
behind on.
All right, yeah. Fine.
Well behind on this one. Hey, you were.
Yeah, I mean, they bring in a pork tenderloin in the clubhouse, and the first time I ever tasted it, I'm like, oh, this is fantastic. I'm going to blow these guys' mind at supper club during the winter. How do you barbecue this? And they said, you don't barbecue it, you sous vide it. And I'd never heard of sous vide before either. And I'm going, okay, well, I got to figure out how to fix this. I got to figure out what sous vide is, and that's how it started for me.
Royals manager Ned Yost joining us here on 6. You never know what you're going to get when the skipper drops by. Hey, Bob and I were amazed the other day when you had your first ejection of the season. It's been a tough year. There's been a lot of frustrations. How did you get until early July before you got tossed?
Well, you know, the only way you can get tossed anymore is, you know, arguing balls and strikes. And, you know, it's hard. I mean, we've had a couple of instances here, too, where replay has gotten messed up. And one was the other night where Herrera, you know, they called him out and they said they didn't have enough evidence where, you know, obviously I felt that there was plenty of evidence to overturn the call. But, you know, I just you try to understand an umpire's point of view, and they're like players. They're like us. They care. They work hard, you know. But, you know, if you make a mistake, don't do it in a crucial part of the game. And this guy had made a mistake with Lucas Duda. We had second and third, nobody out, and called a pitch that was probably 4 or 5 inches out of the strike zone, strike three. Now, I don't care if, you know, you miss a strike on strike one. You know, you can recover from that. Strike three, you can't. So, you know, of course, that annoyed me from the get-go. And then, you know, I just screamed at him, you know, get your act together. And he looked at me, and I said, the ball was up here, get your act together. And when I said that to him, he shrugged his shoulders. Well, that set me off. Okay, well, what does that mean? Does that mean you don't care? Is that what it means? And then, I mean, then here we go. But, yeah, don't shrug your shoulders at me. Just kind of, you know, ignore me or say something. But, you know, don't sit there and look at me, stare at me, and shrug your shoulders. And that's exactly what happened.
Josh and I were both like, that's like what our kids do. That, like, that sets us off as a parent. Like, when the kids look at you, they shrug your shoulders. Like, oh, you want to go, right?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's just like, what does it mean? You know, what are you trying to tell me? You know, that you don't care. And we're fighting here. We're struggling to score runs. And you take the bat out of his hand, and it's like, oh, no big deal. No big deal for you. Well, it's a big deal for us. And, you know, it just upset me. And then I went back in my office and watched the rest of the game. I don't think he missed another pitch, but he missed one at a crucial time, and it just wasn't good for us.
Ned Yost with us here on 610 Sports Radio. I think Wick got screwed out of the All-Star game. You've been managing that team for a couple of years. You've been part of that vote. Don't you think Witt deserves to be on that All-Star team?
Yeah, without a doubt. But every team in baseball is talking about a player that got screwed off the All-Star team, honestly. And, you know, the problem is it's so hard. You only have so many spots. And I've done it twice and helped Bobby do it, you know, 5 times in, you know, with Atlanta. You only have so many spots, and guys are gonna get shafted. And, you know, Witt did. You know, and I felt like Moose, you know, had a All-Star deserving season, too. So, I mean, it was cool that, you know, Salvi's peers voted him into the All-Star game. But, you know, you keep hoping that, you know, that if they have a, you know, they have an issue that maybe Witt will you know, be picked. But, you know, what they normally do is they'll go off the player vote. So, you know, depending on which infielders or second basemen's, you know, wherever Witt got voted, we don't have an idea, you know, if he was third, fourth, fifth. He was probably a little bit down the line because Jed Lowry got picked for Torres as a replacement. So Lowry must have received more votes than Witt did. But, yeah, it's tough. I wish he could have gone because he sure is having an all-star worthy season.
No doubt. I think he's like your perfect baseball player, Ned. He's great on the field. He's good on the bases. He hits. He's leading off. Like who's the most perfect player that you've been around in your career?
Oh, that's hard. You know, probably, and I've been around some really good ones. You know, probably the guy that I'm managing against here today, Paul Molitor. You know, he was such a fantastic offensive player. He would walk. He would, you know, he had such a quick bat. He'd hit homers. He'd slash balls all over the field. And he was, you know, a very solid defender, great base runner, could steal bases, you know, very smart, very competitive. But he was, him and Robin Yount are probably the two most guys that I would put in that category.
You said back in May or whenever it was that you knew what was wrong with Duffy, and since then he's pretty much got it figured out. He's been really, really good over his last 6 or 7 starts. Had a, you know, hiccup here or there, but for the most part, it's been dynamic. What has been the difference now with Danny from where he was to where he is right now?
Danny back then, and I didn't want to tell anybody because, you know, they were going to figure it out. Danny was throwing his fastball at about a 45% rate per game, and Danny is a 60 to 70% fastball pitcher during the game. So he was pitching, he wasn't pitching off his fastball. Guys were kind of eliminated, and they were just sitting soft, and they were hammering. Every time he made a mistake, soft, they were ready for it. And, you know, when I talked to Danny, I said, look, this is what you got to be. You got to be somewhere between 60 and 70, preferably 65 and 70% fastball pitcher. Your fastball is going to jump up, and it has to 95 miles an hour. Now he's pitching off his fastball, which makes it, they've got to respect the fastball. So when he hangs a slider or he makes a mistake with the changeup, they're not near apt to smash it all over the park like they were doing before. And, his fastball, again, like I said, is 94, 95 miles an hour. He's blowing it by guys, and it's setting up his soft stuff to be effective. And, he just got back to who he is. I mean, he's a fastball guy. He's an attacker with his fastball and pitch a guy that pitches off his fastball, and he wasn't doing that early.
You saw the story where he walked to the K the other day. It took him 4 hours from downtown or whatever it was to walk to the K. What is some of the stranger things you've seen ball players do over your career?
I've seen Danny try to walk in Texas from Irving, from wherever we stay. I mean, it's like 20 miles, and he made it. I mean, Danny loves to walk. But that's about as crazy as I've seen, really. Some guys will ride bikes and stuff, but, I've never seen anybody that loves to walk to the ballpark as much as Danny does.
Have you ever walked to the ballpark from anywhere? Like maybe St. Louis across the street or something?
Yeah, St. Louis, where I got to walk across the street, and generally I take the cart there. I'm not going to find me walking to the ballpark.
I mean, that's just insane. But, man, I guess guys in baseball have a lot. Like Wade Boggs would eat the chicken and things like that, all kinds of, like, weird superstitions and crazy things. And whatever works for you, you know?
I guess, a lot of that stuff, I don't see any of that stuff anymore, guys that are real superstitious. For the most part. And, Danny doesn't walk because he's superstitious. He walks because he likes to walk. And, it's crazy how the game kind of changed a little bit. Before, I think you'd have all these superstitions and, and you get to the ballpark and you'd go through them. But now guys get to the ballpark and you walk in the locker room and everybody's looking at their phone. So, it's a different generation.
No doubt. Well, go out there and get another one today. Great win last night for you guys. Good to see Mondi doing his thing. That to me, like, I know the season isn't going the way you want, but watching Mondi do that last night, like, that's something you can build on. That's an exciting part of the season, watching him have the night he did last night.
No doubt. And seeing Dozier, rip triples and, that's what makes it. That's the thing. Those are the things, Bonifacio, getting his at-bats, Dozier getting his at-bats, Monty getting his at-bats, and Herrera playing the way that he's playing, and, all these young guys coming up and getting an opportunity, that's what makes it fun. And, is it a lot more, you're back to teaching again. It's a lot more, I wouldn't say headaches, but you're back to square one in terms of teaching the game and teaching how to win and situations where, we had gotten that group before where they understood what it took to win and they applied it and they knew how to win and you just let them go. But, right now it's back, as a coaching staff, we're addressing every situation and, there's a lot of them. Mm-hmm. So that makes it fun, too, to watch the kids learn, make mistakes and learn and get better.
No question about it. All right, you enjoy that sous vide. Enjoy the All-Star break and we'll talk to you in 2 weeks.
All right, guys. Thank you.
Take care. Ned Yost with us here on 610 Sports Radio, brought to you by Dick Smith Ford. You get your cooking lessons.
I did. I Googled sous vide.
I have to get a sous vide.
During this.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, O'Reilly!